Hey, soccer friends. I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us.
Family-owned soccer innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with Coach Ed, and we continue our conversation about Texas Spurs and his club's philosophy and his view on North Texas soccer to a degree. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
So as you move through the progression of age, so let's jump to those nice freshman years of high school and beyond, and a little bit more freedom from parents. Do you tend to see more engagement with the players willing to be independent and wanting to be more themselves on the pitch? And then the little robots, because I was given the analogy that kids about U14 and younger tend to want to be pleasers of authority figures. So parents, coaches, teachers, other adults, they will want to please them and want to be happy and make them proud of them. Once you get to the age of 14, hormones start kicking in. They stop caring what everyone else thinks. And once you get to the lovely age of U16, they think they're adults already and ready to, I mean, it happens younger too, but I think 16 is a good age for that right now.
A big moment is when the kids start driving, because then parents aren't going to practice it anymore. So now we have the kids and it's direct communication. Even though it was more direct before, when there's no parents there, the kids, we walk to the car together after practice and we talk about their car and we talk about their girlfriends and their boyfriends and their high school soccer. Now, high school soccer is also a big part of their growing years. I personally encourage my kids to play high school soccer, but there's a massive conflict between high school and club soccer right now. And there are several high school coaches. I actually have one coach that calls me every week and talks about my kids and how well they're doing for him. And, hey, we got a big game this week. And I said, no problem. We'll have them sit off and rest a little bit. And if we could get high school coaches and club coaches to work together, oh, my gosh, it would be enormous. I tell my kids, communicate with your coach. Tell him you're playing club ball. Tell him that we have a college showcase this weekend and that you cannot do these stadium stairs getting ready for a high school game in 4 months' time because he's trying to pad his practice time with doing some ridiculous weight training and speed training and conditioning when you're in season. And usually they're coming back, he doesn't care. And so I've got kids, I had kids that had to miss a showcase game because their high school coach made him do some kind of physical punishment and they had back issues or hamstring pulls and stuff like that. So I feel very bad for the kids. And I told the parents, you got to get involved. Because once again, club soccer is getting more and more expensive, okay? And you're paying quite a bit. And to go to a college showcase when you're going to have sometimes 300 coaches and you miss that for maybe a high school game, my question is going to be, how many college coaches are at that high school game? Oh, none. Okay. But how many are at the college showcase? And you need to communicate with your coach. I got a college showcase this event. And I'm the opposite when it comes to their experiences. I had a practice last night, okay, with my high school boys, but we have kids who are in high school practices tonight. Guys, if you're in a high school playoff game tonight, don't come tomorrow night or last night. Don't come. Stay home. Rest up for your game. Or come. We'll do an active recovery. So they have no problem communicating with me because I'm going to give them good advice and stuff like that. But a lot of my kids don't want to communicate with their high school coach, and not all of them. I don't want to guilt all of them. There's some really good high school coaches. But some of them are just in direct conflict with the club coaches. And so who loses? My kids want to please the high school coach. Kids want to please the club coach. The kids want to please the parent. And they're stuck in the middle. And what suffers is their body and their physical ability to recover, to perform. And that's when, you know what, I'm just going to quit. So some kids are quitting high school. Some kids are quitting club. Some kids are quitting both. And so it's just, I don't have a solution for it right now. I wish there were, because high school is only January, February, March. That's what it is. Just let them have the high school season. Okay, don't schedule anything in that time frame and move showcases to afterwards or whatever the case may be and let the kids allow them to do both. Everybody should play high school. You get to play in the athletic field and get the leather jacket, and the announcements, and you're in a social. Why not? Have fun with it. But if it becomes a burden, kids are choosing club. There's no restrictions. They can travel more. They can do, and the exposure. If you're a serious soccer player, you'll get exposure from club, not from high school. Very rare does a college coach go see a high school game, okay? They do once in a while, but they're going to come see the kid play ECNL or MLS Next Game or a Sports Source Showcase or whatever the case may be. So you need to allow these opportunities for these kids to be exposed.
And I think the parents have to understand that. I think parents need to teach at that 6 and 7 age to be able to talk to their coaches. I think I listened to Down the Tunnel podcast, and I can't remember the guest, and they were talking about the coaches. I don't think he's here in the States. I think he's over in the UK. And at the age of 8, he tells all of his parents, you no longer pack your players' bags. They pack all their stuff.
Oh, I'm a big believer in that. Oh,
and I'm not a good parent with this one, but I'm trying to be better. And the kid packed. He has a little brother that's wears the same size shoe as he does, same size boot. And he grabbed his brother's left boot, he grabbed his left boot and wore 2 left boots the whole game, and they didn't realize until they got to the field.
Yeah.
And they got to the match, the kid goes, I have two left boots and left cleats, and decided, the parents like, do we need to go get it? And the coach goes, no, this is a life lesson for him to learn.
100%. That's me. It'll happen one time. I every year I have a player, and I'm talking on my U18 U19 team, will forget their jersey. They'll forget their jersey. Oh, my dad's going to get my jersey. Your dad's going to do what? Oh, I just see my father, and I envision my father and my expression when I say to him, I forgot my jersey. Would you go home and get it? First of all, my father would be laughing, and he would sit in his chair and says, nope, you go get it. And I would probably go after thumb back in those days to get my own jersey. And I see parents go get their kids' jerseys, and they bring them back. I don't blame them. It's a life lesson. If you and I always ask, when you pack your bag the night before? Apparently not. But usually happens one time. It's the same thing with a baby and a hot stove, right? It happens one time, and they learn that. So you've got to understand that it's accountability. That's not punishment. It's accountability. The big difference there. I don't think I want kids. I have a garage. I mean, I have a garage full of soccer balls. I'm not exaggerating. I refuse to pick up any more balls at the complex. I ask the kids to put your name on your ball. It amazes me every single week. I am the last guy at the field. What ball is this? There's balls, every water jugs, balls, shoes. Insane. Where's the accountability with this? I'm not picking up balls anymore. There's no name on the ball. I'm picking it up. There's a, if I say, oh, this is Tommy's ball. Okay, I'll put the ball in my room. Tommy, that's your ball here. By the way, it costs you 500 sit-ups for leaving your ball in practice.
But that makes them think about it. I think our biggest struggle now is our coach for my son. He brings all the soccer balls. And he goes, I'm sick of parents. I'm
He's
sick of parents losing.
Than me.
He goes, I'm sick of parents losing soccer balls because they end up in the road. And he doesn't want kids running out into the, if he goes, if it's my ball that gets ruined, I'm not upset.
Yeah.
And as a parent, I'm like, we're paying for that anyway. So either way, we're still paying for it.
Every family's got multiple soccer balls. And I'm the same way with bibs. In our club, our uniform package, we give them three bibs.
Brilliant.
A red, a green, and an orange. And they wash them. They bring them. It's cleaner. My girls, who I played for me, if they were the bib team, they were crying, oh, no, Coach Ed, not the bibs. You don't wash these. So now the kids wash their own bibs. They bring them to practice. And that's one more thing I have to pick up once in a while. But that's been a real big plus for us. So the coaches bring their cones, any small goals they want, any equipment with speed ladders and stuff like that. And the kids all bring a soccer ball, inflated, probably a ball pump, name on a ball. They have to wear tennis shoes to and from practice. This is another rule I have as well, too. I have kids that wear these Crocs. They're these, I don't know what they call these kids wear these days. And I'm like, listen, you can wear those, but you have to have a pair of tennis shoes. Why? Okay. How many pairs of cleats do you have? One. Okay. If your cleat ripped, and it will once in a while, can you play in Crocs? No. If you had to, could you play in tennis shoes? Yeah, I could. Okay, there you go. So I want you to bring in tennis shoes. Not to mention, when it rains or light rain, those cleats on the concrete, like ice skates. So it's a safety issue as well, too. So we have a lot of rules that parents question, but they got to understand that every rule is designed to better the experience in our organization. You may not like it. You may have to sit in the stands, watch your daughter train. You may have to park in the parking lot and walk your son across the road as opposed to him crossing by himself. You may have to wear a pair of tennis shoes to practice. You may have to, I don't allow water bottles. It's a waste of money. There's not enough water. It's a water jug. Put your name on it. I want you to have a water jug, a good water. You need the amount of water for a hot game. I don't do water bottles anymore. It's not good for the environment. It's expensive. It's a waste of money. I'm saving you money. Bring a water jug. So we have all these guidelines that some think are pretty anal, but you know what? It works for us. It helps build the experience. But like I said before, we're a family atmosphere. And you don't always have to like mom and dad's rules, but you'll abide by them.
So how many, you said you had about 25 teams, right?
Yes, sir. Like 25, 26 teams now.
How many coaches then do you have roughly?
I have 12 coaches right now.
12 coaches. Now with the 12 coaches, how does the club procure a education for the coaches to have success all the way down? So
I personally reimburse my coaches for every coaching course they take. So that's one of the things that we do in our club. I want every coach, I have young coaches right now that they're getting their grassroots licenses and up to their D level and stuff like that. So even if a coach wants to go and get his A, I'll pay for that. It's an investment in the coach's future. It shows them we're serious about their future in our organization. So that's me. I don't know how many clubs do that, but I do that. I think it's important for the coach to get his or her licenses.
So as they get their licensing, do you guys have a coaching philosophy within the club that is, some clubs will have a 5-year plan for the club of things that they're trying to teach the coaches, or they'll have a yearly curriculum that they have it broken down for the U6 through U8, then U9 through U11. This is what we're teaching in each age group bracket. And then they have the club's philosophy built into that. So some clubs naturally just build all the back at a young age. They don't play the kickball even at 6 years old, even though that's what every parent is screaming on the sideline, kick the ball. And like, no, we're doing small passes. And they pass.
I know. That's also a frustrating point to me. Yeah, we have a terms. What do I call it? I dropped it. I'm losing my thought process right now. But we have a document that I give all my coaches. Certain age groups achieve certain levels of skill level, such as juggling, for example. I believe juggling is a great skill that kids can master because it gives them confidence. And it's something I can't give kids. I can't teach them confidence. So we have certain levels to reach certain skills. And the kids, and I'll ask them, what's your record juggling? Oh, it's light 25. If they say it's light 25, it tells you they don't know it. They don't do it enough. I ask, well, what's your record for juggling? 3,018. You can tell by his excitement and his confidence that he's mastered the skill of juggling, stuff like that. Because juggling helps your control. It helps your touch. It helps your confidence. And it leads in the other skill level to help you with trapping and heading, things of that nature as well, too. That broken down per age group as well, too, or per age group, not per age. And then we actually have our coach's terminology. If I cover Coach Steve's session and I ask a boy to do a pretzel, he'll know what that pretzel is because we all use the same terminology in our teaching. So that helps out quite a bit when we do our covering for each other as well, too. We are in the process, because we're a small club, I don't have a team in every age group. We have some holes in our club. Like, we don't have any 08 girls right now, for example. So we have some holes in our age group that won't can adhere to our philosophy and our quote-unquote 3 to 5 year plan, stuff like that. So I built a couple of facilities, which took priority for our team as well, too, because we wanted a good home for our families so they could go and work out on their own and have access to Spurs families and things of that nature. That's been very successful for us as well, too. So within that whole range, we have a plan in place. It's not something that I believe should be concrete, just because I don't think soccer is exact science. And every rule, every goal that you have is going to have some mitigating circumstances that will adjust that. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of sports sciences right now with our kids, a lot of video. We use the video system. I think video is a great tool. And a lot of coaches use that system, and they'll have, if it rains tonight, for example, rather than cancel practice, we want to have you guys, we'll go to someone's house and watch the video together. We'll break it down and we'll show them how, look at the flank play here, look at the overlapping opportunity here, and look at how we're passing lanes or exposed here. And the kids want to see themselves on video, and that's a massive tool that we use quite a bit.
That answers one of my questions. Video is, at the older age groups, is it's massive.
We have a college program. Sorry to interrupt you. We have a college program that often we go through Sports Source, and also two of my coaches who are former college coaches, the Joneses, and we do a college program for our kids, and it's unique. And we just had a seminar Sunday night where their coaches did the how to make a highlight video. So it's a Zoom link, and all the kids in the program, it's invaluable information. And as you get older, you want to send the right video to the college coach that boom, grab their attention. Oh, you play for Texas Spurs. Oh, you play for Coach Misty or Coach Steve or Coach Ed and this, that, and the other. Now we know what's going on.
You're actually getting right where I was getting with that. I was getting, leading into my question, actually, with the college programs. Do you guys use it to help use it for that next phase?
Enormous. Yeah, for a small club like us, we're probably one of the most successful in placing our players that want to play. And not every player has a goal to play college soccer, which is completely fine. But we prepare every player to play college soccer. That way, if you decide not to play, you've not lost anything. But if we don't prepare you to play and you decide to play, then you're behind the eight ball with the FAFSA and the exposure, the videos, and things of that nature. So it's really important that we prepare everybody, including the parents. So here's the finances involved. Here's the processes, the NCAA, the NAIA. And these rules change annually. And Sports Source is the best, I think, at providing information to our families and their management program. We have the kids can plug in their information. It'll shoot out some options. And we go and here's questions to ask on college visit. Chances are me or my staff knows the college coach. an old guy like me who played so long, I know quite a few coaches, so we use our contacts. And when a player leaves our program and goes through a program, that coach knows, you played for the Spurs, I know the discipline, the accountability, the education. So it's a win for our families in with that regard. So I'm massively proud of our college program. For a small club, we really hit the mark.
So I'm going to start at the very beginning of this, because I want to make sure I'm getting my image for the families to understand and the players to understand about you guys. So you guys have your younger ages. As you guys build up, what leagues, I'd say from U12 and up, because that's where it starts to getting more dynamic, I feel, as a parent watching this, and I could be completely wrong, and I'm glad to be wrong, but at U12, U13, it's when it starts to get into the select world of soccer, more true select, not this whole pre-crap that's out there. That's a whole argument we can have. Let's call everyone pre-U.S. national team. That's what we'll start calling everything. U12, U13, when they start playing the select game, what leagues are you guys in to start building up to that next phase after U17, U18?
We actually play, it depends on the level of the team, but we have teams that play in the Classic League, in the Girls Classic League, in Plano Premier, in RPL, in NPL. I'm maybe missing one or two along the road here as well, too. But those are the main gist of our teams right now. And we found that the competition level, it creates a level that our kids can develop in and grow and mature. So we don't want to have them underwhelmed. It works for us right now. We're proud about that. So years ago, I tried to create my own league within my club and was onto something, but it's just too many platforms in Dallas. So don't reinvent the wheel. There's some good organizations that do a good job. And open get facilities as well, too. It takes facilities to host a league.
And that's the thing. Now you have your leagues that you're playing in. You said you guys have built facilities over in Allen McKinney area.
Yeah, Spurs Park and Texas Spurs Park, too. TSP2.
Okay, and are they over in Allen and McKinney then, in that area?
Yes, sir. We have one that is in Lucas off of Main Street, just south of Lovejoy High School. Then we have one that is in Allen, which we're off of Stacy Road at 75. Both associated with churches. TSP associated with Grace Church, and TSP2 associated with Creekwood Methodist Church. Great facilities, great relationships. Both host league games as well, too. It helps us to keep our teams from driving to Colleyville and Louisville, and when they can play league games close to home as well, too. Especially younger ages. Dallas is getting massive with traffic and stuff like that. So it's,
yes, we live in Keller, so we travel.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
To the other side of town all the time.
I have some kids that play for me in Keller. They drive. They drive from Keller to play for Spurs, which I've got enormous respect for. Like I said in the beginning, I think the younger ages, stay close to home. There's enough good coaches and programs close to home. You can find your touches. As you get older, see how that travel comes into play.
Yes. Travel's always fun.
I have a team in Amarillo that plays in my club. U18 boys plays in Division I in the Classic League. These boys drive 6 hours one way to play a game. 6 hours one way to play a game. And I got kids that live 10 minutes away, can't get to practice on time. How about that commitment?
That blows my mind as a parent.
That is absolutely insane. I tell parents every time I see them, mad respect, because there's not enough talent of to get enough league in Amarillo, but there's enough talent to form a team. And they play here. And I have players in Dallas that supplement their team and their roster as well, too. And it's a great relationship and just enormous support for that and respect for them to try 6 hours one way. Great.
That just blows my mind, especially for, hopefully they stack their games on Saturday and Sunday. Maybe they can make it.
No, they don't. They don't. That's a whole thing. The Classic League does nothing for them, which that's a whole conversation.
We can have that one another day. So as you're going through this group, as you're building your pyramid now, what type of college platforms do you have for players? Because I think a lot of clubs either don't have anything or they have a very minimal program out there. What do you guys have I mean, you'd already talked about with the video, you guys have a whole program to help them prep to make videos. I'm assuming there's more to that than just.
Yeah, our college, like I said, our college platform, we use MatchFit and through SportsSource and also through the Misty Jones. We hit every college platform you can think of. I mean, if you're someone to play at Stanford, we can help them out. They have to have the level to play there, obviously, but the majority of our players play in D2, D3, NAIA schools, but we do have some success with some of the kids that have gone on to Division I schools, boys and girls. Like I said, we hit the older kids. We'll hit the GSI showcase in Kansas City, the Sports Source showcase, Austin showcase, FC Dallas showcase, Texas Lightning showcase. So we'll get our kids exposed. And then it's a very proactive program that we use. We're not going to do all the work for them, but it requires the player, not the parent, to write the essays, contact the coaches, copy us on the emails, follow up on things. And so it's, like I said, it is unique, and we do a fantastic job. One of my most proud aspects of our club is our college program.
That's awesome that you have it in place. And is this like a sit-down class the players get to listen to and go
seminars,
through?
Everything. In-person seminar to tell the program. And then we do Zoom seminars, face-to-face, and phone calls, and it's full service.
Is this put on by your coaches, or is this through one of the services you're using?
The service we use is MatchFit through SportsSource, and also internally with my coaches and myself, Steve and Misty Jones are my college coordinators, and myself, and together we all work to provide this program for all of our families.
That's awesome. And now
it's really unique, Ian. It's wonderful to see.
That's the thing. I feel like I'm not trying to be mean to any of the bigger clubs. I know that the MLS has their own thing here in town and how they do things, because I've had chats with parents now. But there's a lot of these big clubs, as I'm learning, it's an added service. It's not a lot of times. If you're going to do this, it's an added-on service. Is this an added-on service, or is this part of the whole entire program?
The majority of our fees for our club are included in our services as well, too. We're turnkey. I don't believe in Nickel and Dime and the parents. I think we charge $50 additional per player this year, and next year it'll be completely included. So within our fees, we offer facilities, coaching, college, everything. The only thing we also provide a team account that has a certain amount of dollars per age group that the team uses to go for tournaments. And we're under $3,000. We do a pretty good job with that as well, too. So some of the clubs around town have really got a lot of expenses on their hands. So we're very streamlined, and we do a good job, and we spend our money wisely, if you will.
That, as a parent, is a topic dear to my, like we say in our house, we have no problem paying our fair share of the cost. There is cases where kids need scholarships, and we understand that, but that's a conversation that you need to approach the parents with, not just charge everyone and not let some players, that's a whole other topic we can get into.
I'm a little bit touchy on that one, if you will. First of all, I don't call them scholarships, I call them financial aid. Scholarships are for kids I give scholarships to who go on to college. A family that needs some help, we call it financial aid. And in our club, you have to apply through an application process. I had a father last year who says, my son's good, he's a full scholarship. I said, well, not at my club. We don't do that. I'm not NIL, and I'm not going to just pay for someone to play because they're a good player. We don't do that. So I think it defeats the purpose of our family atmosphere. And there are some families that need some help. We'll have special payment plans. We have that in place already. We'll have some financial aid available for some families that need it. And they'll go through an application process, and we'll decide that privately with each of the families. And we'll help as best as we possibly can. But I did this about 6 years ago. I compared select cheerleading, select volleyball, select baseball, select track and field, karate, taekwondo. There's something else I did. And oddly enough, select soccer was the lowest of all of these. In our club, we added up all of the practice sessions, all the potential games and stuff like that. And we added up over a year and it worked out to be under $15 an hour babysitting service for any player to compete in our Texas Spurs FC, which is pretty good, I think. So
that's inexpensive. Yeah. Heard higher numbers over this last year and a half.
So I was actually pretty proud of that. It is a business, and unfortunately, we have people that you got to pay your bills, guys. We understand that. If you don't, you got to communicate with us so we know what's going on. But I got coaches that are full time coaches here, and we have bills that we have to pay as well too. My facilities are not cheap.
No.
You know, water is expensive. Winter ryegrass is expensive. Renting turf fields are expensive. So it is a business. I think we do a good job, and we've been around for a long time, and it's proof's in the pudding. So I'm pretty proud of what Texas Spurs is, and I'm pretty proud to say my kids have all gone through it, and I've got a grandson and a granddaughter to be born next week, so hopefully they'll have a chance to play as well, too, at some point.
So with all your the college and the leagues, how do you guys recognize players internally, not for the world to see, but internally? How do you guys recognize players that are performing well, or like you talked about earlier, it's all about building that confidence. If they don't have that confidence and player recognition, it's not, I'm not saying a participation ribbon. I'm talking about showcasing someone that has truly improved, or someone that has done something exceptional educationally and soccer career wise, even at that age, I still call it a career.
We don't do much with our younger ages. I have a social media director, Amanda Pearson, who does a phenomenal job with our social media. We have a quarterly newsletter that we use as well too to help showcase some of our teams. We stay away from the individual showcases at this point now because it is a team sport. But we showcase our seniors when they sign their letters of intent, when they commit to their school. So we'll do a lot of individual showcase on that. We list that on the website as well, the newsletter as well too. But we don't do a lot of individual recognition right now because I'm a big believer, and if the team does well, individuals do well. So it's a team sport. So we really focus on the team aspect right now. And if a player does well, the coaches internally are going to be like, hey, congratulations to Ella. She just got, you know, state award for her band performance. That stuff's awesome. We make sure the kids do that. We do birthday parties, and the kids sing, and the parents bring cupcakes for the kids, the birthday practices and stuff like that. So all those things are all good family fun. So we welcome those like that. The coaches do a real good job of handling their own internal accolades.
That's where some clubs will do it at a higher level. Some clubs will do it at a coaching level. And it doesn't have to be public either. And that's the thing. Yeah. I think it's more about being personalized for
everybody,
the individual players.
Likes it, you know, so we... A kid will win a state with his soccer. Hey, congratulations to Ben. His team's in the high school playoffs. Stuff like that. So we're big on that. So it's all part of our family.
Now, on the other side of that, do you guys have a coach's review or process within the club? And you guys have evaluations? And are they made public? Are they kept internal? Or is it just for you guys, for you all, let me stop saying you guys, sorry about that, you all to have a better understanding of where the coaches are at? Like you said, it's an ever-changing process, an ever-growing process. You've harped on the importance of education for the coaches. Do you have that in a review process so coaches know where they stand with you within the club and how everything's going?
Absolutely. Being a small organization, that really is beneficial because we actually have a coaches chat, and we chat every couple of weeks, and we actually chat every Sunday with their practice schedules and the weekends, and everybody posts their results, and they'll do, this team lost a game 5-3, but we lost to this team 10-1 last week or last season, and they're doing really well. So we have a great little chatter amongst our coaches as well too. And then I meet with each coach individually several times throughout the year. And we'll talk about future years, talk about coach education. I'll come watch practice sessions. I'll come watch a game situation. I'll help cover. I want to be the one coach that covers when someone has a conflict. Everybody likes seeing the boss once in a while. The kids say, we didn't come watch us play, coach. I'll be there this Saturday. And so I really enjoy that aspect of it as well, too. And being a small club, we know everybody's names. I know where Annika is going to play next week, and I know where Lindsay's going to play next week, and I know where Shanker's going to play next week. So I like having that personal touch with the kids and the family. I don't recognize all the family's first names. I know the kids' first names.
That's all that matters, the kids. Who cares
about
the parents?
That matters. That's all that matters. And like I said, I know I'm going to harp on it a lot, but it all goes back to family for me. So we are one big Spurs family, and the kids want to be part of that. So they love. I love whenever I have a parent that played for me years ago. Hey, I saw some of your Spurs kids at Chili's today. They love the club and this, that, and the other. I'm glad to see you doing so well. So we've been around since 99. So hopefully we're a staple in the community.
The name is around. I've heard it from the beginning when my son started to play club soccer. So it's there. Now with recruiting, I think this is one thing that is a touchy topic for a lot of clubs, because it's not because it's I'm stealing your player. It is, parents have a huge say in it. We've talked about the financial side of things, and it's a big commitment for families to find a right home. And how do you all go out and recruit for new players or coaches, whatever it may be? Is it by word of mouth, or is it just watching teams and making introductions, or just hoping that someone sees you and how you all behave? And
that's a touchy subject, I think, all across North Texas, because I personally have a hard time with a coach coming to watch one of my teams and then afterwards go and give his business card to one of my families. I think it's rude. I think you have to look at what your goals are. First of all, everybody loves to be recruited. Everybody loves to be wanted. Okay, no matter who you are. You get in your business professions, you get headhunters that come and recruit people out right off the office complex as well too. I personally like to develop my players. I don't cut players. So I'm honest with players. I'll share a story with you that happened to me years ago. I had a team. It was a classic team, an excellent team. I was allowed to have 22 players. I wanted to go to 20. And I had a family come to me. I said, listen, I love your son. He's welcome to stay on my team. He'll have a contract if he wants. However, I don't think he'll play much. He'll play a little bit because everybody plays on my team. But at this level, I said, we're going to get into the college exposure part. I said, he won't play as much as he probably needs to play. My suggestion is some other clubs out there. You should probably get more playing time there and take your chances and go from there. But the decision is yours. It was a house divided. The son said, I want to play for Coach Ed. The mom said, I want my son to play for Coach Ed. The dad said, no chance. So I said, tell you what, we're friends. No problem at all. I will abide by whatever decision you make. Take it out, take a day or two, think about it, and we'll chat Sunday. They came back Sunday, okay? And it was a house even more divided, because now mom was sitting way over here, we're standing, the player was here, and dad was way over here. And I said, what we decided to do? And mom and the son said, we want to play with you. And dad said, we don't want to play with you. And I said, guys, I said, I had to make a decision today. I said, understand. And I looked at the boy, eyeball to eyeball. I go, if you decide to take this contract, don't come to me in October. Say, I'm not playing enough. I go, I will be very honest and open with you. Okay, if you take this contract, you're welcome to stay. But nothing is guaranteed. It has to be earned. I want it. I want it. I want it. Mom and dad, they agreed. So the kid signed with me and stuff like that. By October, he was starting for me and wanted to prove that my selection, giving him a contract, was great. He got a college scholarship. He was a big part of my player for the next couple of years. So that's one of the positive stories. And I share that because I think if you're honest with families, I think they'll be more respectful in the long run. I had the same conversation. Okay, thanks. We'll go someplace else, which is great. I get that. I'm not going to cut a kid. We're going to place kids in a team where we think he or she will develop more. Maybe on this top team, your son will be a role player. But maybe on this second team, your son's going to be an impact player. We'll probably develop him more than a role player. However, if he does well, we can move players within the club back and forth to guest play and player class and things of that nature, which, again, is communication is vital. So we do a lot of stuff like that. I don't want to get too big. So I don't want to have 50, 60 teams in my club. I think it becomes difficult to manage. I think we lose our family atmosphere. A lot of our 2017 boys team just got formed because we have siblings of families who are in our club that want an opportunity for their son to play in the youth in the Texas Spurs. Hence, the 2017 boys were just born. So that's how a lot of our teams are formed. A lot of our teams stay together. And we'll lose some players here and there that will want to go and try and see how green that pasture is, or maybe they want to go play on a different challenge or a different coach. And no problem. We shake hands. If they leave properly, the door is open to return. If they leave cloak and dagger and owe money, and that's just not a good experience to have. And we try and hopefully keep all of our bridges with Band-Aids and make sure it's all smooth. I had a call last night from a player that wants to come back to us from an MLS Next team because they like the Spurs family atmosphere. And the MLS Next team was too cutthroat for them. Yeah, no problem. Door's open. So if we have space, the door's open, stuff like that. Ideally, I'd like to have one team per age group, but we have, like I said, holes in our club. And then we're having a couple teams, our age groups, because the age group has exploded because we've done so well. And the best recruiters are our existing parents. Listen, if you're happy and your son's happy and your friend has a son and their neighbors, what can it be? He's not having a good experience. Why is your experience so good at Texas Spurs? They do this, they include that, and the other. Okay, great. Then we'll take a look at you and stuff like that. So otherwise, social media. Again, I don't want to just put out big feelers to recruit players. I don't want to have that. So does that make sense to you?
That makes perfect sense. You aren't actively going to.
I think if you do a good job, you attract people.
Right.
I think good people know good people. And those are the people I want to have in our club that are good people and good friends with our existing members.
It's about growing organically and naturally and
it
not
is.
Just.
I don't want that parent on the sideline that's a loudmouth that's yelling at every kid on the field. And I'm the DOC that will go up to him and say, hey, sorry, we don't do that here. I coached a game one time, Ian. I had this father who was going nuts on his son. And his son was a great player. So I subbed him. I said, Eli, come here. He came off the field. And I said, your dad wants to talk to you. This is an older boy. I think he was maybe 18 years old. He goes across the field. And I see him talking to his dad, and they're both doing this like that. And I see his son going like this to his dad. And his dad does this. He looks at me, and he puts his hand up. And Eli comes all the way around the field. He goes, Coach, my dad apologizes. He won't coach you anymore. I said, okay, go back in the game.
And that's the thing. I think parents need to understand that.
They do understand. And there are certain things. Listen, if I'm coaching your son, okay, your son has his own button that I'll know when and how and if to push, okay? And everybody's different. And maybe your son knows he made a mistake. And if he made a mistake, he's the first person that knows that. And there are some times where I don't have to point it out for him. You've heard this phrase before, the game's the best teacher. I won't say a word to him. And there are some times where I'll say, Ian, you made this mistake. Yeah, okay. And if it happens a second time, Ian, yep, okay. The third time, I sub him. Okay? The first offense, we'll fix it. Second offense, you fix it. The third offense, it's not being fixed. So now, if it happens the second game, immediately, we're back on the third offense. I should come again. And but you have to explain to him. So here's why I subbed you. Okay? And this, you don't have to agree with me, but respectfully, here's why I subbed you. And have a seat. Okay? And then we'll go back in the game. Okay, you understand what I want? Yes, sir. Off you go. You know what I'm saying? It's important. USSF has a great line that I've adopted. The essence of coaching is saying the right thing to the right person at the right time. Okay? And I believe that our job as a coach is to make my 16th player think he or she is just as important as my first player. And if I can do that, then we'll all be very happy.
I love it. This will be my last question before I get to the ending of this. I'm looking at the time. It is, Do you collaborate with other clubs? I know that I have 100%. Talked to other clubs, and they will work to go say, I'm going to go play in ECNL, and they'll go play underneath another club's. Even though you may be coaching the team, they're all Spurs players, but they want to go be able to go play at in this league or this tournament, but they have to have a big enough name. Do you have that type of collaboration, or do you collaborate with other clubs? And I have no spots on this roster, but I recommend this coach and this team. And is it the next question? Is it public knowledge that you guys are doing this, and how do you guys address it within?
I think the common theme is that people think coaches hate each other, and it's quite the opposite. All of us coaches, we're in the same fraternity. We all know each other. Yeah, I want to beat him. He wants to beat me. But at the end of the day, we're all in the same fraternity, and most of us get along really well. There are some coaches I will not recommend a parent to go anywhere near. Absolutely not. He doesn't have the right integrity, doesn't have the right ethics, doesn't have the right pathway, mythology, whatever the case may be. Just a bad person. And there are coaches, oh, yeah, my son would play for him. Yeah, my daughter would play for him. Absolutely. And there are some parents that will come to me and say, listen, we love the club. My son needs to get something else. He needs to be this challenged. You know what? Try this coach over here. Have them give me a call. Mention my name. We'll talk about stuff like that. I have an international tour program. It's very successful for the last 36 years called Stars and Stripes. It's not related to any club at all. And I have a lot of club coaches that will send their kids to me. I'll take them to Europe. It's a great experience. Coach them, educate them, come home, go back to your club. It's completely fine. It's just, so me and a lot of coaches, and I have some coaches for different clubs that coach with me on Stars and Stripes. We all get along. Like I said, it's the world's greatest sport. North Texas is a beast. And if you isolate yourself and try and reinvent the wheel, you'll get eaten up. We get along really well with most clubs and most coaches and share information. And sometimes I'll say, hey, I got a tournament out of town. Can I borrow two players? Absolutely, no problem. Or vice versa. Hey, I need five girls. Five girls. No, I'll ask my girls, go play for coach. He's a good guy. Yeah, no problem. Go play for him. He doesn't recruit my kids. I don't recruit his kids. We just coach them. So it's not public knowledge. I think most parents think that we as coaches and clubs hate each other. It's not that way. So I'm friends with almost every DOC in the Dallas area and most coaches as well, too. And we meet at games and Dallas Cup events and share stories and information and all that fun stuff.
Loving it. My favorite question to ask, and since you have had such a lengthy career in this beautiful game, as a player, who has been your greatest influence? And as a coach now, who has been your greatest influence? And it can be anyone. It doesn't have to be a player or a coach. It could just be someone that has influenced you to be who you are today.
That's a
as
good
a player
question.
And as a coach.
I've got one answer is gonna probably stun you, but I'll ask the player first. When I played for the Dallas Burn, I was 33. I was a veteran already of 12 years, 13 years, give or take. I played with two guys on the same team at Dallas Burn. Leonel Alvarez was a Colombian national team player. He played defensive midfielder behind Carlos Valderrama. He helped him be his special self. And then Hugo Sanchez, who played in Mexico, came to us from Real Madrid. And Lionel first, his work ethic, the coaches would have practice and they would leave, and he would just start practicing. And by that, he would just start doing stuff on his own. And I would watch him, and then I would join him and do certain things. And he taught me certain drills to do and certain things to do. And he was my roommate on the road one time when we were in New York. And he spoke no English at all, no English at all. And I spoke very little Spanish I spoke. And he hurt his ankle. And the trainer told him, I want you to ice your ankle every 20 minutes on and then rest for 20 minutes. And he said, okay. And so that night, he set his alarm clock. Every 20 minutes, he iced on. And I said, Leo, he didn't mean constantly, just two or three times. He said, no, Eddie, no. Escucha, I listen every 20 minutes. I heard the alarm go on and the alarm go off. I'm like, oh my God, he's killing me. But that was the kind of personality he was. And his professionalism and his work ethic just it hit home with me. And then my most influential person besides my father, who I think everybody's father should be the most influential person, I was a wrestler in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Peters Township High School. And I'm just watching the NCAAs this morning here, actually. And I wrestled in high school. I wrestled in college. I owe my entire professional playing soccer career to my wrestling background. I got self-discipline, work ethic, commitment, the weight I lost, maintained it. I had an Italian mother, full-blood Italian mother, who saw her son lose 30 pounds as a senior to wrestle 119 in Pittsburgh, which is the most difficult place to wrestle in high school wrestling in the country. And I held it down for 3.5 months. I would wake up to a baked apple pie at the foot of my bed and go run through a cemetery with my best friend at 6 o'clock in the morning to lose weight with plastics on. But what it taught me, work ethic, and my coach was a guy named Dale Murdoch. He was my high school wrestling coach and teacher. I owe an awful lot to him, and the mental toughness, the mental discipline, the self-discipline, the work ethic. Wrestlers are a special breed. And to this day, I'll go watch Allen High School wrestling matches or Lovejoy High School wrestling matches, or I'll go up to Oklahoma City and watch OSU wrestle with John Smith up there. And I'm a massive wrestling fan. I'm a big Gail Stenison fan at Penn State. It was the best program in the country right now. So his coaching techniques and his calmness and his enjoyment are some of the things that I've adopted into my soccer coaching as well, too. It's all about learning. At 61, I want to keep learning.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chet by the Pitch with Coach Ed. This two-part series, there's a lot of information to digest to realize that there's there. I know that as we go through these interviews, there's a lot of information, and I'm try to cover a lot of it in the show notes. So if there's something that you heard, I'm hoping I capture in the notes or something in there that will help you guys further your education in the soccer community.
Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.